Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
I have had a rare time with the Lord this morning. And I really want to share it with you. But I need some composure. Would you please stop and pray for me? Thank you very much. I have been trying this week to deal with a very meaningful verse. Vernon read it to you. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so does my soul pant after thee. I wonder this morning, what is the deepest longing of your heart? If you had to buy the pearl of great price and sell everything else, what would you buy? If you had one wish from God, what would you wish for? I think what we need more than anything else is God. We need Him. We don't need anything else as much as we need Him. We don't need Bible knowledge. We don't need more time in prayer. We don't need to be successful. We don't need to be serving. We need Him. And so often in the church, we trade the best for the good. We get so busy doing good things in His name, we forget that what we need more than breath itself is Him. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be completely satisfied. I've watched enough desert movies to know that you just see those sand blowing and pretty soon you get so thirsty. You just got to go get a drink of water at every commercial watching those sand movies. Have you ever felt that way about God? I'm not talking about 11 o'clock church or 8:15 or I'm not talking about church. Has your soul ever been so dry and nothing seemed to be able to quench that? And the longing of your heart was to draw closer to Him, to know Him better, to know Him deeper, to know Him more intimately in more areas of your life. I've entitled this message, How Do We Know God Better? Well, I've tried many ways to come at this. But nothing really came until this morning. I was so worried. I thought, Lord, I have nothing to say. I'm a teacher, Lord. It takes me a long time to get into a text. It takes me study time. It takes me prayer time. I'm not sure I can just hit this thing in a couple hours. But the more I studied, the more frustrated I became. So finally, I put the books aside, though they were helpful in some ways. They showed me some ways I should not go with this. Until I got up this morning, I really didn't know what I was going to say to you. And I thought, if worse comes to worse, I think I'll get up and say I don't have a word from the Lord and just sit down. Of course, after the offering. I really feel like He's put this in my heart for you. I want so desperate to share with you the overflow of joy. And so I want you to pray for yourself. Because I believe God's going to try to speak to you in a new area, in a new way maybe. But I believe the Lord's going to try to speak to you. And I think if you just open your arms to Him, I think He'll pull you to Himself. I don't think we can catch Him to hug Him, but I think if we open our arms, I think He'll pull us to Himself. You see, until you really sense a need for this, you're not going to want it. I believe in my heart the vast majority of American Christians are quite content for a religion that is based on 1 or 2 hours a week with no commitment, no real change of lifestyle, no real radical call that transforms every waking thought and sleeping thought, that touches every corner, every closed door, over every barrier. Only God can put a deep longing in your heart for Him. Nothing men can do can make you want to seek after God. There is no possibility of me preaching you to a place where you want more of God. There is no possibility of me educating you in the Bible to a place where you want more of God. But when everything else gets so dusty, so meaningless, and the Christian life seems so difficult and unmanageable and unimportant, then maybe that's a call to know Him. For only He can put that there. I know that He uses despair. I know that He uses physical illness. I know that He uses fear. I know that He uses loss in whatever area. And I know that He uses boredom and nervousness, anxiety, tension. I know He uses those to accentuate the need in our lives. Not for just a simple, quick answer to that, but for the ultimate answer, which is to know Him. There is no joy in all the world like being with Him. It is a garden with fruits too many to taste and too varied to try. It's an oasis in the midst of a life of meaninglessness and fear and loss and anxiety. To be with Him is the capstone of all that we long for. To be with Him is the goal of what we were created for. To be with Him is what He wants for our lives. But we put so much religious things in that thing. We try to fill up that void with all kinds of religious activities. They never seem to have any meaning until you've been with Him. Ritual, faith, worship, praise, teaching, all of those are meaningful after you've been with Him. But before you've been with Him, those things are endless absurdities and human effort. I believe that the vast majority of the modern church has truly experienced Jesus Christ in salvation. And oh, what a marvelous day that is. And oh, how I love to talk about justification by faith, the free offer of grace from God, and All you have to do is receive it. And I love to talk about that. But I'm not talking about salvation this morning. I'm talking about that which moves beyond the initial grace that lifts the burden of sin. And I'm talking now about a daily walk. I'm talking about a lifestyle that moves from knowing God has saved you and that ultimately your sins are taken care of, moving from that initial experience and taste of God and His goodness, and moving from that initial taste to a daily walk where the rivers flow from within and life is transformed by His presence on the inside. And everything takes significance from the sweeping of a kitchen to going to the moon. Every little act of life is suddenly consumed in knowing God. And there's no insignificant little acts anymore. And everything that we do and think and try and dream becomes washed and bathed in the presence of God. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing Him. I'm talking about being with Him on a consistent basis that is not too drastically altered by circumstances or moods or personality types. No one will mature into the fullness of Christ without a deep sense of the need of God Himself. No matter what else you do, it is impossible to be the full blossom of Christ in us until the greatest desire of your heart becomes the Father. Until the only source that your roots want to touch is the Father. And suddenly, in that time, tremendous, tremendous atmosphere comes a blossoming beyond our ability. So many of us are trying to blossom where we are, and we don't have the resources. Watchman Nee said this about what I'm saying. The Lord does not set us here, first of all, to preach or to do any work for Him. The first thing for which He sets us here is to create hunger in others. I am admittedly here not to give ultimate answers this morning, but to get a thirst going in you that you're not going to be able to quench. I wonder how many people in the church today can say that God develops a need in others through their life. I'm not talking about success. I'm talking about God creating a need in others through us. Many, many believers still think that they can live the Christian life in their own resources, that they can teach with their own mental skills, that they can give with the overflow of their own money, that they can somehow generate desire, somehow worship because it's time, somehow be close to God because they come to Sunday school regularly. Until we come to the place that we realize that human effort is futile in living the Christian life, we will live meager, miserable, hurting existences. It reminds me so much of Galatians 3, where Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, did you begin in the Spirit now to be perfected in the works of the flesh? Did it start by grace, but does it end in human effort? Did you receive it as a gift of God, but now you're going to have to keep it by your own efforts?" That's the church. There she is. Knowing God in grace and then trying to keep God loving her by working herself silly in His name. What the church needs is not success. The church needs Him. He will provide all that's needed, but we must come to Him. George Trumbull has said, "Our hope is not Christ plus our efforts, but Christ plus our receiving." That hit home. It's not Christ in you, friend, however good or successful or wonderful or gifted you are. The key of the Christian life is not Christ in you. The key of the Christian life is Christ in you. It's not effort. It's yieldedness. It's a listening. It's a response. It's an openness. It's a channel for Him. What do you really want? The only goal, as I must repeat one more time, that's worthy of who we are, is to know God Himself. Know Him as Father, as Son, as Spirit. To know God. Some of us are more committed to knowing truth about God than we are knowing God. Some of us rather have a detailed outline of correct theology than to sit at His feet. I do not want to be correct. I just want to be with Him. We do not need His gifts, as successful as they may make us, as attractive as they may make us, as seemingly religious as they may make us. We do not need His gifts. We need Him. I'd like to read to you two passages that I think try to say that. You can turn if you want, but you don't need to. I prefer that you really just listen. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who executes loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. And maybe the classical passage in this whole area of knowing Him would be in Philippians 3, 10 through 16. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection among the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, in order that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, have this attitude. And if any of you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the standard to which we have attained. To know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Life in Christianity is death. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? You want power? The seed must go in the ground and die. You want victory? Self has to be laid on the altar. You want success? Know what it is to fail. Only through failure and need do we come equipped to serve and to love. Only by somehow knowing what God has had to put up with us are we able to understand what others need. Others need Him. All right. I would like to move from this initial call, as the deep in me has tried to call, to the deep in you. And now I want to come to a section of practicalities. And I would like for you to get a pencil, please. And I'd like to try to tell you as practically as your pastor knows how to tell you how not how you can climb up to reach Him, but maybe how you can get to the bottom of the ladder. I'm not telling you how to take the escalator because it doesn't come. I'm just telling you how to get in a place where maybe He'll come and get you. I don't have any answers, ultimately. I don't have any mysterious knowledge that I can impart. But I do believe I have some biblical guidelines that, if practiced in the right attitude, will get you in the place where God can do a marvelous work in your life. These of themselves are sand, but in the hands of God, they are powerful. The first one I want to think about is prayer. I'm not talking about 5-second public prayer. I'm not talking about prayer over the dinner table. I'm not talking about prayer at Thanksgiving. I'm talking about Jesus kind of prayer. You say, Bob, what do you mean by Jesus kind of prayer? You mean I need to pray the Lord's Prayer over and over? That may be meaningful to you. That's not meaningful to me. First, I want to convince you that there is a need to pray that supersedes probably any other need in your life to know God. So I want to give you a quick rendition and let you look them up later of how Jesus prayed. In Mark 1:35, it says, He arose early in the morning and went out to pray. This is the Son of God, by the way. In Luke 5:16, it says, He often went out to pray alone. In Luke 6:12, He says, He prayed all night before He chose the disciples. In Luke 9:18, He was praying when the disciples came up and began to ask Him about who He really is, the great confession of Peter. In Luke 9:28, Jesus was praying when His body was changed and transfigured on the mount. In Matthew 14:23, He prayed all night before He walked out on the water and calmed the storm with the disciples. I want to tell you, Jesus had a regular habit of prayer alone. Now, I don't know how much you pray. It's none of my business. But I do want to give you some guidelines on how to pray. And I want you to take seriously what I'm saying. Now, if you have a better way and it's more fruitful for you, I want you to use it. But if you don't have a better way and you sense in the deepest part of your spirit what I'm talking about, why don't you try what I'm telling you? Now, if you're a mature, praying Christian who has the fullness of the Spirit of God, then just keep on doing what you're doing. My soul don't do this. But if there is a longing to know Him better and you don't know how to do it, why don't you try this? I think first you ought to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, because I mean the whole thing is teaching us the attitudes that we ought to have when we pray. Especially chapter 6 and 7. That's where the Lord's Prayer appears. But the rest of that is an attitude we must come in prayer. Read that. Before you start praying, just read that. Or any other passage that's extremely meaningful to you. Read it before you begin to pray. Get alone by yourself. I don't know where you can do that. You need to get alone where there is no phone. Nobody is going to come barging in. There's not going to be a whole lot of distractions. You need to find a place. Many of you, I have told me that since a few months ago, I encouraged you to pray on the way to work. That's a good time to pray. Turn that radio off. Roll up the windows. And you've got a plugged-in prayer time every day. But that won't be possible for some of you whose personality is going to be distracted by everything. Find you a quiet, secret place that nobody knows. And then you set some time to go there every day. I don't know how long. Depends on you. Start with 5 minutes.
5 minutes. But make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to do it twice a week, three times a week, twice a day. I don't know what's good for you. Find a quiet place. Make a priority commitment of time. And then go. When you come to that place, try to start letting your spirits be calm. Our society is such a hustle bustle, do it today, instant gratification. You're not going to find God in 5 minutes. You're not going to find Him in a week. You may not find Him the fullest in a long time. We're so spoiled toward everything rapid, we turn on the TV and it's right there. Get quiet, get still. Put the things out of your mind of the day. If you have to, take a notepad and write the things down that come to you that you remember that you must do, but then get them out of your way. If you have to write them down or your mind can't get off of them, write them down and say, move out of the way now. Get quiet. In Psalms 46:10 it says, let go and relax and know that I am God. I think our hustle, bustle, rat race, merry-go-round society just needs to get away for a little while. Think about who you are, why you're here, who we serve, what this whole religious rat race is all about. Relax, let go, and know that I am God. Number five. Use your Bible in these times. I think the first thing you ought to do is just be quiet. Get everything out of your mind that you can from the day. Get all the problems out. Get everything out. And just try to be still, quiet. And then I think it'd be real appropriate to read those passages in the Bible that are meaningful to you. And I want to talk about the ones quickly that I think talk about just what I'm saying. A time to meditate on the Word. Not your Word, His Word. Get your Word out of your mind as best you can. Listen to Psalm 19 as it talks about the beauty of the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than fine gold, sweeter than honey, than the drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me, O God, of my faults, and keep me back from presumptuous sins, and let them not rule over me. Quiet, still. Let the Bible's truth speak to you. Maybe I could put it this way. Hide your word in my heart that you might not sin against me. My word is a light unto your feet, a guide unto your path. But you've got to hear it. You're not going to hear it in Sunday school. You're not going to hear it in worship service. Too much else is going on. Be still. Listen to it. Don't analyze it. Don't try to teach it. Let it speak to you. It's God's word to you. It applies to your world, your life. Let it speak to you. Another passage on the same thing. Let me read it, please. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Oh. Same Psalm 119, a little bit further over, it says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of thy words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. It opens It opened my mouth wide and I panted. I longed for thy commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after the manner of those who love thy name. Establish my footsteps in thy word and do not let the iniquity have dominion over me. I cried with all my heart, answer me, O God. I will observe thy statutes. I cried to thee, save me. I shall keep thy testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for thy words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Receive me, O Lord, according to thy ordinances. Just a time to read it. Not to teach it. Not to know all the history and background. Just a time to say, O God, speak to me right now through this. Then I think you ought to meditate on it. It's hard for us. So hard for us to be still. But I think if you can close your eyes after you read one of those passages that's so meaningful to you, and I want you to try in your mind's eye to put yourself in that text. I want you to try, if you're listening to the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to hear the waves as they lap up on the shore right behind you. I want you to hear the birds that are playing right over by the rock where Jesus sits, and I want you to think of Him sitting there talking to you. I want you to feel the coarseness of first century clothes. See the wind blow through His hair. Hear Him speak. Look in His eyes. Play like you were right there. Imagine you were right there and He was speaking just to you. All the senses alive. Hear Him speak to you. And then wait for Him to answer. So often we pray in 30 seconds and then we're gone on our way. Hey, stay there a minute. Maybe He's got something to tell you. Maybe He wants to respond to you. Maybe He wants to tell you how much He loves you. Maybe He wants to answer that need you have. Maybe He wants to give you that wisdom. Be still. Let Him speak back to you. Think about the text. Think about your needs. Let Him speak to you. Pray back to God. Tell Him how good He is. Thank Him for what He's done for you. Tell Him how wonderful you think He really is. Deal with the specific sins in your life and tell Him about them. Tell Him what you know is the sin, the meat hooks from the evil one that have so long kept you down. Tell Him about it, and those meat hooks will come out, and they'll fall. The chains will break off. Tell Him specifically how you feel about yourself, your attitudes, your problems, and your needs. Ask for His will in your problems, not yours, but share with Him what you desire. What you want, what you think the answer is, but ask Him for His answer. And don't ever forget to thank Him for listening to you. And thank Him for doing something because you've prayed. And then expect something to happen because you've been with Him and asked. Expect it. Listen for Him to respond. Second thing I think we need to try in the modern church that we're not used to, and you're going to feel like it's really something weird. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm suggesting if your spiritual life is dry and dusty, you find no meaning, no joy in Christianity, try this. Give one day a week to God without food. I don't care when you do it. Just one day, try it. Say, God, this is meaningless garbage to me. This whole thing is the pits. I need some help to show you I'm serious. I am going to fast today. Not because it'll make me more holy or more pure, but God, I'm going to try to focus all my attention away from food that eats my lunch all the time, and I'm going to try to focus my ideals on you. For one day, Lord, I'm going to try to focus my entire mental perceptions on you. Some of you won't make it for a whole day. That's all right. Next time, try to go a little farther. See. Three. How long has it been since you have taken time to get away with God? I don't mean with your husband or wife. I don't mean with your kids. I don't mean with your work. I don't mean to just go out and hunt deer. I mean, how long has it been since you've just left the house? And in your mind, you said, oh God, I'm going to give you all day by ourselves. Just me and you by ourselves someplace. Have any of you ever taken a weekend to get away and just be with God? Ever done that? Now, I'm not talking about going somewhere and fish. I'm not talking about going somewhere and plow. Talk about going somewhere where nobody else is, and just you and God blocking off a period of time that y'all are going to spend together. That will light up your life. You say, I don't have time to spend a day with God. You're in bad shape, friend. I don't have a weekend I can give to God. You're farther gone than you think, friend. Where are your priorities? If your life is miserable and going down the tubes, and nothing you do seems to work, you need some time with the Lord alone. He'll change all of that. Remember, our efforts will not bring us to God. God is already here and speaking to us. Most of us are too busy, too self-centered to hear what He has to say. Now, I'm going to do a practical exercise with you. If I can quit crying. What I'd like for you to do, it's 9:15, I think, 9:16. We've got at least 10 minutes before we start getting noise in the hallways. I want you to take your Bible off your lap and put it beside you. If you have a kid, put them beside you and just try to do the best you can. Take everything out of your hands, everything off your lap. I want you not to cross your legs or hold on to your honey. I want you to put both feet on the floor, and I want you to put your hands in your lap. I don't care how you put them, just put them in your lap. I want you to close your eyes. And I want to walk you through a time of quietness. I hope I'm the only one you're going to be listening to, at least physically, as you listen to the Lord spiritually. I want you to try to remove everything from your mind right now. I want you to remove the problems, remove the sins, remove the tensions, remove the anxieties. They're just going to flow out right now from your mind. The pressures of Monday are going to leave. The thoughts about God are going to come. You're going to see Him. You're going to be listening for Him. You're going to be looking for Him. Right now, let those other thoughts flow away. Let God come. Maybe it'll help you to think of your favorite scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think of that. God is a shepherd. If it's hard for you, think about the cross. Think about Jesus dying on your behalf. If that's difficult, think about the rock being rolled away from the front of that empty tomb. Think about the glory that was there. Just all the problems of the day are gone. And God's going to come. I want you to ask Him to help you. Father, help me. Help me. Just ask Him to help you. Ask Him to put His arms around you. Maybe you want to ask Him, can I lay my head on your shoulder? As you're laying there on His shoulder, would you thank Him for who He is? Creator of a beautiful world,
plants and trees and butterflies. The one who's going to restore that beautiful world to the way He meant it to be one day. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Bible. The joy you get from it. Thank Him for putting a desire in your heart to pray. Thank Him for Jesus, what He's done for us. Whatever you feel, just a minute now, quietness, just thank Him. Thank Him for who He is, what He's done, what He's going to do. It's good to be with Him, isn't it? It's good to be still. It's good to thank Him. Maybe now you want to tell Him about those things, those needs, those problems you sense. That person you screamed at, that you're sorry you screamed at. Maybe you want to ask Him to forgive you for that temptation that you succumbed to, or that evil thought, or that angry spirit. Maybe you want to tell Him, Father, I'm prideful. I'm sorry. I haven't loved people. Tell Him. Tell Him how you see yourself. God, I got a bad attitude. I got a bad spirit about this. Father, I've got lust in my heart. Father, I've been stingy with you. Tell Him. He knows. Tell Him. All those things that come to your mind, just tell Him. How about telling Him what you think you need? Father, I believe I need a job. I believe I need to pay these bills. I believe I need a better relationship with my wife, my kids. Father, I need a better relationship with people at work. Tell Him what you think you need, what's bothering you. Father, I think I need this. Father, this is the way I understand what I need. Tell Him. Every need that you feel in your heart, tell Him. You feel tense, you have fear, tell Him. Tell Him what you understand your needs to be. Okay? Now I want you to try to put everything out of your mind. I want you to see if you can hear Him. Don't tell Him how good He is anymore. Don't tell Him what you need. Don't tell Him your sins. Try to get everything out of your mind. See if you can hear Him speaking to you. See if there, in this moment of quietness, there comes an answer to a problem that you just talked to Him about, or there comes something you ought to do about that. Just listen to Him. He's trying to speak now. He's not. He loves you. You're His child. He's not withholding His words from you. He is trying to speak to you. Now, you're just trying to hear it. You're just trying to get your heart in a place you can hear it. Okay? Let Him speak. What a tender voice. What a tender heart. Is He speaking? Maybe He's not this first time. Maybe He will in the days ahead. This is just the first time we've done this, so maybe He's not speaking where you can understand. Okay, I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me, please. Wasn't that good? Don't you feel a refreshing in your heart?